This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, May 4th. I'm Gavin Dahl. The town of Paonia inched forward on retail cannabis shops at their last meeting. The Delta County Independent reports the Paonia Town Council passed its retail and medical marijuana ordinance on second reading. There was discussion clarifying zoning rights and outlining the definition of a city block, as the town is limiting the number of shops per block. The ordinance goes into effect 30 days from the approval date. The town staff will now work on the application forms and procedures for accepting them. Retail marijuana shops could open in Paonia by the end of the summer. The Colorado Sun is partnering with a new nonprofit called the National Trust for Local News to purchase 24 Front Range newspapers. Hedge funds or other absentee owners are routinely slashing and burning the staff at traditional media outlets, even selling off buildings. The Sun is buying 24 weekly and monthly newspapers from the Colorado Community Media chain as the outgoing owners and publishers prepare to retire. Some newspapers in the group are more than 100 years old. The Sun and the National Trust will own and operate the papers together under the new title Colorado News Conservancy, which, like the Sun, is a public benefit corporation dedicated to serving Colorado readers. No staff cuts are planned at the papers. The Lower Colorado River Basin is preparing for its first ever water shortage declaration, likely coming later this fall. From KUNC, Luke Runyon has more.
Demands for water continue to outstrip supplies in the rapidly warming Colorado River Basin, which means its largest reservoirs, Lakes Mead and Powell, will hit their lowest levels ever recorded later this year. A shortage declaration from the federal government will restrict certain users in Arizona, Nevada, and Mexico. Tom Bouchatsky directs the Arizona Department of Water Resources. He says the cutbacks are painful, but residents shouldn't panic.
You're not going to see a request for people in their homes to only shower twice a week. We're not in that situation. This is not a crisis at that level.
Farmers in Arizona will bear the brunt of the shortage. The watershed is currently experiencing its driest conditions in almost a decade. I'm Luke Runyon.
The North Fork school consolidation is moving forward, but some community members remain unsatisfied with the process and the outcome. Kate Redmond spoke with critic Arlene Portillas, who's a graduate of Hotchkiss High, and Delta County School District Superintendent Karen Gibson.
Arlene and Rod Portillas held signs outside of Paonia High School in a last-ditch effort to prevent consolidation. I spoke with her about what led up to this decision and what it means for the community. Do you feel like the school consolidation process was comprehensive and transparent?
I think there was an opportunity for transparency, but due to the COVID and everything, I think people just kind of were floating along and didn't realize it was actually going to happen.
What are some of your feelings about it?
Sometimes communities are built around their schools. And I think by losing your school in the community, you're really losing kind of the heart and soul of your community. The legacy of the Bulldogs and the Eagles, that's one thing that the consolidation overlooked.
The school district is doing the consolidation so that there are more opportunities for the students to take extra classes and get a better education and have more teachers and more offerings. Do you think that this is true? Do you think this is going to play out?
I'm all for more opportunities for the students. But there are a lot of small schools in the state that are outstanding and ranked very highly. And even Paonia ranked 33 out of all of these students. I just want the school board to just look me in the eye and say, gosh darn, these are the 10 reasons we're going to do it that's going to be better for the students.
I also spoke with Delta County School District Superintendent Karen Gibson, who offered some answers for community members who still have questions and a strong focus on the students. For the school consolidation, you held multiple public meetings, comment periods, community engagement, and yet you're getting criticisms from the community. Do you know why?
We did hold a lot of meetings, and this isn't something that happened all of a sudden. Basically, 40-some years ago, when they decided to build four high schools instead of one high school, is really when it started. And I think every year since then, I've been told that it's been brought up. And I know for the last 15 years, it's been brought up because I've been part of leadership in Delta County School District. Kids can stay in their communities through eighth grade than the one high school, where we can offer more options and opportunities as time goes on for those students.
And that's a lot of what was driving it beyond the financials of keeping two high schools solvent, was to be able to offer more for the students.
It really was those options and opportunities for kids. And we've had multiple parents over the years want different things for their kids, from advanced placement classes, concurrent classes. Peonia kids wanted ag classes.
Were the people who are trying to put the brakes on this, were they involved in the community engagement that you did this past fall and winter?
You know, our meetings were virtual, so I don't know if they were watching virtually, but we did have in person, and then people could watch it virtual as well.
So what would you say now to your detractors who still aren't happy?
You know what? Come visit with us. We're happy to answer any questions that they have. Sometimes people think the high school is like it was in the 60s or 70s. The students just are not there like they used to be. It's kind of quiet. When the bell rings, there's not this mad rush of students coming out of the classrooms. If it was the way that it was many, many years ago, we wouldn't be doing this, but it's not. And a lot of parents, they want more for their kids now, and kids want more, and we want to be able to provide that for them.
Can I just ask you to break down the student vote on the mascot and the colors? It was a 75% weight of the student vote.
The advisory committee narrowed the names down to North Fork, West Elk, and Fire Mountain. And then they took all the different mascots that were available and narrowed that down to three. And Miners, Outlaws, and the Wolves. And then they did school colors down to four. And during that time, yes, students were told 75%, but we had thought all along that it was 3/4, that we will give each community vote one vote, where the students would get three votes. It was probably misrepresented to say 75%, because you could have one student vote, and if it was worth 75%, that one vote, 75%, it would win no matter what. We also anticipated over 550 kids voting. Fifth grade through 11th grade students could vote. And the advisory committee was made up of 10 students from each school, staff members, and some community members. But anyway, the advisory committee narrowed it down, and then the vote went out. Every student, fifth grade through 11th grade, was sent an email. They were informed they could vote each day on the announcements. And then we had this ongoing vote on the community where they could vote on our website. We had about 900 community people put their vote in, and we only had 273 students voted. And from that, we counted their vote three times. It came out North Fork was the highest vote, Miners, and Black and Red.
For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Tuesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl. May the 4th be with you.